welcome to the program. It is February the 14th. That's Valentine's Day. And today we're going to talk about the subject of love. Today, this program is being put together on February the 14th, 2020. We're going to talk about love. We need to really have about 9 years to talk about this subject. There's so much in the Bible. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." What love! "We read, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren," 1 John 3:16. The most familiar verse in all the Word of God, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul the Apostle said in Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen to this simple but beautiful message. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he died. Heaven's gate to open wide, he will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me. Thank you. I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. In prayer I tell him so. Praise him, praise him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Praise him, praise him, all ye little children. Jesus loves me. This
the subject of love is a tremendous subject in the Bible, and there's a lot about it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Interesting verse. Paul had a very special love for Christians at Philippi. In verses 3 through 5, he wrote, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now." In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul referred to them as my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, dearly beloved, true yoke fellows, and my fellow laborers. He prayed that their love would abound more and more in knowledge, the precise and correct knowledge, and in all judgment, meaning in discernment. We need to learn to love with discernment. Love must be cultivated. Loving one another will not happen automatically. That is why the commandment to love one another is repeated over and over again in the Word of God. In John chapter 13, 15, those two chapters, we find the phrase love one another three times. And then John in 1 John 3:11, 3:23, 4:7, 4:11, and 4:12, five times he said, love one another. And then in 2 John, again in chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, love one another. Paul said in Romans 13 and 8, love one another, and Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, love one another. Love has to be cultivated. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, once again, love one another. Paul focuses on the importance of Christians loving one another. In Romans 12:9, Romans 12 and 10, and Romans 13 and 8, we read, let love be without dissimulation, love with brotherly love, and again, love one another. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. In Ephesians, three times he said, know the love of Christ, forbear one another in love, husbands, love your wives. In Hebrews, he said, provoke one another unto love, and let brotherly love continue. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 4, he said, teach the young women to love their children. Now, why would he have to teach the young women to love their children? You would think that would happen automatically. Well, in Philippians 1:9, as we read, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We need to teach the young children, and everybody else for that matter, to love in knowledge and to love in judgment or with discernment. In John chapter 15, verse 17, we read the Lord's final message about love. He said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, it's important to understand that Jesus did not say, I command you to love one another. It's not possible to love on command. As a matter of fact, love is far deeper than a command. Jesus said, these things I command you, and if we will do those things, the byproduct is we will love one another. The things that Jesus was talking about in John begin in chapter 13. He said, if ye know these things, that is to cherish and pay attention to these things, happy are ye if ye do them, John 13:17. The little word if is used in various ways in the scriptures. Here it is used in the sense of John 7:17, where Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. God opens the understanding of those who will do his will, including the understanding of the subject of love. A careful study of these things that Jesus spoke about, with a purpose in making those things the most important part of our lives, will result in us automatically loving one another. It's a byproduct. In John 15:10, Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. In John chapter 13, verse number 1, it tells us that Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Now, what it means here is to the point that it is impossible to love them any more than he loved them. As a result of that love, we read in verse 4 and 5, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water in a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. We read, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, though I speak. As pastors, we speak. With our speaking, we can move people emotionally and sometimes even get them to cry. We can move people mentally and get them to do things we want them to do. However, it is only the agape type of love that will change a person's spirit. Christians are to be renewed in the spirit of their mind, Ephesians 4:23. Preaching is not the key. Love is the key that leads Christians to be renewed in their spirit. Paul said we are to be rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17. Following that, we read of being renewed in the spirit of the mind. To change a person's will is not the answer. People are to be renewed in their spirit, and the Bible way to do that is through love. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, we see there that the pastor is rebuked because he had left his first love. We read, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That sometimes gets quoted, we lost the first love. That's not what it says. It says he left his first love. To lose something might be excusable. However, to leave something is to make a conscious decision. This pastor, if you study that portion of Scripture, was working. He was serving the Lord. The Bible talks about his works, talks about his labor. Not only was he serving, he was separated. He did not bear them which were evil. He tried them and he found them liars, he said. Not only that, he was stable. He was solid in the word of God. But what were his shortcomings? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, pastor, he said, because thou hast left thy first love. Love is a relationship, and if we study the subject of a love, there are several different words in the Greek referring to love. There is a low-level love that says, I will love you if you do things my way. It is a conditional love that's based on our expectations. It's a low-level love that says, you must earn my love. And so Paul said in Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we have that great chapter, verse number 13, that talks about love. But all the way through, we see that Paul also rebuked these Corinthians for their disunity, their human wisdom, their carnality, their strife, for the refusal to judge between what was right and wrong. He rebuked them for their pride, their immorality, the fact that they had no discipline in the church like they should. They were taking one another to court. He rebuked them about divorce and abusing the communion service and their tongues movement, where they thought that was being filled with the Spirit. He rebukes them for all this. Love rebukes. When he wrote in 1 Timothy, telling Timothy how to pastor that church, he said love is exposing people. In 1 Timothy 1:20, he exposed Hymenaeus and Alexander, he said, whom I've delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus was a self-appointed teacher that was promoting disunity in the church, and one of his converts was Alexander. By the time we get to 2 Timothy 17, he'd picked up someone else to help him. That was Philetus. We read his name there. Paul wrote to Titus, and in Titus 1 and 13, he said, "Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." And in verse 10 and 11 of Titus 1, he said, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, whose mouths must be stopped." Then we have the little book of Jude, which I call Jude's love letter. In it, he said, love must be multiplied. And in it, Jude's love included exposing filthy dreamers in verse 8, exposing the way of Cain in verse 11, exposing the error of Balaam in verse 11, and exposing the gainsaying of Korah in the same verse. In verse 12, he exposed those spots in their feast. Verse 16, he exposed murmurers and complainers. In verse 16, he also exposed those who were walking after their own lusts, exposing those with great swelling words, taking advantage of the people there. In verse 18, he was exposing the mockers, and he was exposing those that have not the Spirit in verse number 19. See, genuine love, genuine Bible love, protects the ones we love. Love protects the truth.
Jesus said a man is measured by the kind of life he lives, and his standard's not in getting, but in just how much he gives. So he left us his example of how great our gift should be when he suffered death on Calvary, so sinners could go free. I could understand him dying for a rich man or a king, but to think that Jesus loves me makes my heart rejoice and sing. Nothing good had I to offer, weak and helpless, poor was I. Only Jesus Christ could love enough to give his life for mine. But he loved me, Jesus loved me. Song of ages, he redeemed and set me free. Yes, he loved me. Jesus loves me. Wondrous love of God, my Savior, Jesus loves me. So, my friend, if you feel hopeless, burdened down with guilt and pain, just remember Jesus loves you, and he died your peace to gain. Won't you turn to him and trust him? He alone can set you free. Mortal man can't understand this love, his love for you and me. But he loves you, Jesus loves you. Song of ages, he'll redeem and set you free. For he loves you, Jesus loves you. Savior, Jesus.